Blog Talk Radio.
Good day. This is Marcus Jarvis, immigration attorney, broadcasting again. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2005. And it's about 4:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Today, our discussion will focus on deportation. Every immigrant, and when I say an immigrant who is not a United States citizen, you're described as being an alien. No disrespect for the word, but any alien, in other words, if you're not a United States citizen, you could be subject to deportation. And there are many, many things that could cause one to be deported. The biggest thing is committing crimes in the USA. A lot of people are surprised that even an individual with a green card, some people say resident card, some people call it lawful permanent resident card, LPR, that's what it means, or green card, as I said earlier, can have the green card revoked. The biggest thing to have in your green card revoke or be placed in removal proceedings or deportation is committing crimes in the USA. So it's absolutely important for individuals who are not United States citizens to be very, very careful. So, as I stated earlier, that committing crimes in the USA or even crimes abroad. I remember recently in the news there was a young lady from somewhere in the East, Mideast. I think she had gotten involved in the persecution of people abroad, and she was able to become a United States citizen, and the government was able to take her citizenship away. I believe the term, legal term, is called de-citizen. So it's very, very difficult for an individual to lose his or her citizenship. The government would have to bring an action in federal court, and I've never done one, but it's my understanding from what I've read is that the burden is going to be on the government, and it's a very, very high burden. But with that being said, our focus today is going to be on individuals who are not yet United States citizens. As stated earlier, if you have committed a serious crime in the United States or outside, you could be placed in removal deportation proceedings. If you overstay a visa and you run into immigration for whatever reason, you could be placed in removal proceedings. If you committed fraud to get your green card or to get some sort of immigration benefit, or if you commit some sort of fraud and the government, let's say state, federal or local government, finds out, and then it's determined that you're not a United States citizen, that fraud potentially could put you before an immigration judge. If you work in the United States without the proper documentation, you could be placed in removal proceeding. Sometimes you run into an individual who came as a student, let's say F1, M1 visa, or even though you came as, let's say, a visitor visa and changed your status to F1, you could be placed in removal proceeding if you fell out of status. Being in removal proceeding sometimes can be a good thing. Actually, this may sound crazy, but sometimes as immigration attorneys, we want our clients to be in deportation. And the reason why I said that is that before an immigration judge, an alien can be offered a lot of benefits, but you have to be before the immigration judge. The catch is that in removal deportation proceedings, the government is always the movement. In any lawsuit, there are two sides. You could have multiple parties, but you're either the movement, which is the plaintiff, the petitioner side, or you're on the defense, you're responding, you're defending. So in removal proceedings, I'm not saying in every action against the government, you're you're the responding party. But when it comes to immigration court, United States government, and when I say the United States government, that was a very broad statement, a global statement, is the movement, is the plaintiff, is the petitioner. So, as I stated earlier, we are happy sometimes when our clients are in removal proceeding because there are certain benefits that an alien, a person in deportation, can avail him or herself to. For example, if you're in the USA 10 years or more, you have a qualifying relative, and a qualifying relative is described as a spouse, a parent, or a child who is a green card holder or a United States citizen. You can show hardship. You've been paying your taxes. You can establish your presence in the USA for 10 years or more. You may be eligible for what's called cancellation of removal under a form EOIR 42B. So 42B cancellation can only be accomplished before an immigration judge in the immigration court. Also, there's some situation where an immigration judge may have either appellate jurisdiction or what's called original jurisdiction. Original jurisdiction means, well, jurisdiction simply means the power to do something. And original jurisdiction means that the immigration judge is the first forum that can evaluate your application. For example, if you are from a country where it's a war-torn country, maybe not necessarily war-torn either, but let's say you're being persecuted on five grounds. Some examples based on your religion, you may be of a particular tribe, your country may be a very tribal country, and you may be from a minority tribe. Or based on your religious beliefs or your membership in a particular social group, you may be able to get what's called asylum. And in an asylum situation, the immigration court has original jurisdiction. That's one instance in asylum where the court has original jurisdiction over asylum. Also, in asylum, the court could also act in an appellate capacity. And one example, you may come from your respective country. You apply for asylum. One thing I should sidestep and say that if you come, you should apply for asylum. If you intend to apply for asylum, you should apply within 12 months of arriving into the USA. After 12 months, you lose one benefit. There's a form called the I-589 that an individual completes. And that form basically requests three forms of relief. By just filling the form, it's automatic that you have three forms of relief. And after 12 months of arrival, you basically, if you don't apply, you lose asylum. You're still eligible for withholding of removal, convention of against torture. But let's get back to the main thought, is that you apply for asylum, you came from your country, let's assume that you apply within the statutory 12 months, and you apply at USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. If USCIS determines that your issues are complex, and maybe they figure that maybe you need to go to an immigration judge to where you have, you know, more of a legal approach, the USCIS may refer your case to an immigration court. In that capacity, the immigration court is acting in an appellate capacity. Also, there's something called VAWA. If you're married to a United States citizen and you've been subject to abuse, you may be able to get a green card through what's called for Violence Against Women Act petition. That's just a name because it's equally applicable to men, children, parents of U.S. citizen or green card holder. Let's say you've been in the USA 3 years or more, and you filed a VAWA, and USCIS, you have to apply to USCIS for an adjudication of your VAWA. USCIS may at first deny your VAWA, and they give you an opportunity to appeal to what's called the AAO, Administrative Appeals Office. If the appeals AAO determines that you do not qualify for VAWA, they do not qualify for VAWA, USCIS may refer you, may, and you're in removal proceeding, you may be able to request relief from an immigration judge. I think I have a caller on the line. Caller 6878, do you have a question, please? Okay, we'll continue. In that capacity, the immigration judge has appellate jurisdiction over VAWA. There's a relief called temporary protected status. The U.S. government gives individuals from certain countries, and the government does the selection, a benefit called temporary protected status. Temporary protected status, TPS, if you're from that country and you're here in the USA before a certain period of time, you may be able to get the ability to work in the USA. You apply for TPS, and as a offspring of that, you can get a work permit. If you're in removal proceedings and you're from a country that's designated TPS, an immigration judge has original jurisdiction to make a decision on your TPS. The judge may allow USCIS to make a decision before the judge eventually looks at your TPS. But there's a case, that's one of my case, that it's called Lopez Aldana. And we decided, we lost at the immigration court level, and we decided to take an appeal at the Board of Immigration Appeals. And the board came back with a decision saying that if you're from a country that's designated TPS, you can seek relief directly from an immigration judge. So in this case, the immigration court has original jurisdiction, but sometimes the court may allow USCIS to look at your TPS application before the court gets involved. Some of the other forms of relief, they are numerous. You could have a green card and you, for whatever reason, the government places you in removal proceedings. If you're in the USA 7 years, and for a portion of that 7 years or more, you had a green card, and they're trying to take your green card away, you might be able to apply for cancellation of removal. And cancellation of removal to maintain your green card, you'd apply on this form called EOIR 42A. So some other forms of relief. Recently, the president issued an executive order that was back in 2012, and it's called DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And if your young child and you meet certain requirements, you had to be in the USA before age 16. You should not have committed any serious crimes. 2 to 3 misdemeanors could hurt you. You have to be able to demonstrate your presence. The ability to receive DACA is tremendously slowed if you in immigration proceedings and you apply for such a benefit at USCIS. In order to start removal proceedings, the government issues what's called an NTA, notice to appear. The notice to appear basically has in factual allegations and at least one charge. And the factual allegations would say words to the effect, allegation A may say that you're not a citizen or national of the United States. You're a citizen and a national of Antigua and Barbuda. You entered the USA on at a certain date and time at, let's say, New York, JFK, New York, and you came in as an F1 student. You later adjusted your status to that from student to lawful permanent resident through, let's say, a parent. And on a particular day, you had maybe, let's say, multiple drunk driving or words to that effect. And then the government finds you removable based on a particular statute. The NTA is served on you, and then the NTA is filed with the immigration court. As I stated earlier, only the court has what's called only the government can be the movement in immigration court. So once the NTA is filed with the court then sends out what's called a notice of hearing. Then you go to court and then you have got to answer the, respond to the factual allegations. You usually respond either you admit or deny the allegations, and then you decide if you concede removability. There could be some situation where you deny one or two factual allegations. You could ask for modification, and then if you deny at least one factual allegation, then obviously you cannot concede that you're removable. Then the judge wants to know, well, what country may you designate that in case you have to be removed? Does not necessarily mean that you're going to be removed, but the court wants to know. Then it depends on how the pleadings went. You could, if there's an issue that needs to be resolved, the judge may set it on for what's called a mini hearing to determine that issue. It could be a short, what's called an individual hearing. And then you decide the issue. So for example, if a person has applied for asylum and they admit all the allegations, they concede that they're removable, they will deny a country to be removed because you cannot concede you're removable if you fear going back to that country. Then the judge may set the matter for what's called an individual hearing, and then both sides, both the government and the alien, would present evidence, then the judge makes a determination as to whether you're removable or not. After the immigration court level, and one party, whether the government or you as a respondent, is aggrieved by the decision, you can take up an appeal to the Board of Immigration Appeals. And then that body will make a determination as to if the judge's finding is correct. Sometimes the Board of Immigration Appeal could reverse and remand, it could also affirm the immigration judge's decision. So those are some of the things that go on in immigration court. As I said earlier, sometimes we want our clients to be in removal proceeding because we can get a lot more benefits for them. Sometimes some individuals even get involuntary departure is a plus for them. They don't have a deportation on their records. I've been in court where individuals request a deportation order from the judge because when you're being deported, the government of the United States bears the cost. I remember one time there was a guy from China. He wanted to go back home. He got into distress in the USA, and they would not remove him until a judge enters an order. But he needed the order because with that order, now the government has to pay his expense to take him back to China. So If you find yourself in removal proceedings, any problems with immigration, it's always wise to get the help of an attorney because you never know how an attorney can help you resolve the matter to where you don't have problems into the future, living, working in the USA. I've been practicing since 2002 and I've seen a lot of individuals commit crimes or make simple mistake that gets him or her deported. So I was compelled to write a book. It's called A Simple Guide to the Immigration Laws of the United States, What You Need to Know When You Come to America. The book is available on Amazon in about 6 ebook apps. It's also available in Spanish and English as print versions. So today, that concludes our discussion on deportation removal proceeding. In my book, I think it's about chapter 10, 11, 12, it talks about removal proceeding deportation in depth. The idea is not for you to have a do-it-yourself situation, but at least the book gives you ideas to ask any attorney when you go for consultation. It gives you a good overview as to what's going on in immigration court. I recommend the book highly, and we wish you the best, and we hope that you can pursue the American dream. I think we all came to the USA for a good reason, and hopefully we can accomplish that. For everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we look forward to speaking with you another Sunday. Thank you much. Bye.
Night.
I think I have. Go ahead, please. Do we have a caller? Caller, are you there? Caller, if you're there, I'm not hearing you very well. Can you try again? Are you there, caller? Thought we had a caller, but